Fox Sports 1340 AM presents to you. WMER, Wrestling Marks of Excellence Radio, starring The Firm, J-Lo, Nephew, Corey, and Dr. D, bringing you the latest up-to-date information on professional wrestling and sports entertainment. Now, live from the Fox Sports 1340 studios in Hopewell, Virginia.
Hey, welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another edition of the Wrestling Marks of Excellence here on Fox Sports Radio 1340 AM, 96.9 FM. As always, I'm your host, Glenn Thomas. With me is the Wizard himself, Nephew Corey. What's going on, Wizard?
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. We also got the main man, Jim Creed, with us. What's up, champ?
Hi-ho.
Yo, let's get this started. I guess we're going to start with the biggest news that's out there right now in WWE land. Kofi Kingston gets the opportunity to face Daniel Bryan at Fastlane. You know, Kofi Kingston in the last couple weeks, in the last week has pinned Daniel Bryan twice in the last week. Yeah, and now we know that Kofi Kingston will take on Daniel Bryan at Fastlane. People in the world are hashtagging Kofi Mania. They want to see Kofi Kingston and Daniel Bryan at WrestleMania. I'm going to start with you, a wrestling historian.
No, this is what we're going to start with. No. How can you go there after even more bigger news of what just happened like 20 minutes ago or so? The Velveteen Dream has won the North American Championship. That's what we should have started off with.
look, I understand. We'll get to the Velveteen Dream. That was my NXT segment. But since you want to go there, let's start there. NXT call up this week. Aleister Black got called up. Johnny Gargano got called up. Tommaso Ciampa got called up. We also have who did I miss?
Missing Ricochet. The main Ricochet got called up, and we now got the American champion. Well, hold on, I'll say this.
That might be the only goal he gets while he's there.
because he's probably going to get called up after losing that.
And when he gets called up, he'll probably just get the Intercontinental or the U.S. title.
Is there anything wrong with him getting the Intercontinental? I don't know. See, okay, we'll have that discussion. Here's the thing, okay? I'm on board with Velveteen. If Kofi doesn't become the first, it might be Velveteen, man, because he's pretty much all a WWE creation. And I feel as though if there's anybody, what is he, 23?
Yes.
Or something like that, yeah. Oh, they've got another 20 years with this dude if he doesn't go anywhere. He'll be more than an Intercontinental Champion, I think.
He's a gimmick.
Hold on. Dream deleted all of his tweets?
I don't know.
I'm looking at it right now. He deleted all of his tweets.
But, you know, he's a social media guy. He's a guy that social media, he deals a lot of stuff on social media. He says a lot of stuff on social media. You know, we go back to last pay-per-view. Either he was going to be put on the main roster or bust. And, you know, he's not on the main roster. So, I mean, he is the North American champion, which is good for him. As I mentioned, Johnny Gargano is on the main roster now. Of course, he couldn't keep the North American championship. Velveteen Dream gets the win there, which is good for Velveteen Dream. Champ, I agree with you. I don't see him being champion on the main roster at all. I think his gimmick is not WWE championship worthy. I just don't see it that way. I don't see it carrying over to mainstream media. I don't see him on Good Morning America with the Velveteen Dream gimmick. I don't see him on Regis and Cassie anymore, but I don't see him on none of the mainstream shows as the Velveteen Dream being the WWE champion. I just don't see it. Intercontinental champion, maybe?
He doesn't have to be. You're predicating this on his gimmick being able to be on the Today Show for WrestleMania or something. Doesn't have to be. WrestleMania is 1 month in the year. You got 11 more months to go ahead and put a belt on him.
I don't think
he can't be champion for SummerSlam. Like,
I don't think his gimmick would transcend to the main roster because many people don't watch NXT. They go to watch the main roster. I don't think his gimmick would transcend.
He's that good. Whether he's that gimmick or not, he's going to end up being WWE champion. I really think so. Whether it's as the Velveteen Dream or something else. He may end up being Patrick Clark, for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he's some... Now, I give you that. If he's something else, yes. But Velveteen Dream, nah. I don't just don't see that one getting to where it's at, where he is the headliner and you jumping in front of the other people that's there right now currently. I mean, I know he might be there 20 years.
Is the Velveteen Dream gimmick too risque for the masses?
No.
I don't think so.
I mean, his gimmick is nothing but Adrian Adonis. I mean, let's be honest. That gimmick has been done before. How many titles did Adrian Adonis win in WWE?
He's one third Adrian.
He's a tag team champion. And two.
But I'm talking about world champion. How many world championships did Adrian Adonis get?
He played. He wrestled in the Hogan era. Come on, really?
Yeah.
You're really gonna do that? Come on.
Hey, listen. Hold up.
You got Velveteen Dream, who's wrestling in the Daniel Bryan era.
Hold on.
And I'm saying that because, let's be honest, if you look at the Daniel Bryan fans, and let's not forget Roman Reigns may come back, and he'd be in a Roman Reigns era.
Had it been Cena, I maybe said, okay, maybe. There's enough parity in the way that they book guys now that virtually anybody could be WWE champion at any time. There's no clear cut John Cena right now. Even if you say Roman Reigns, Roman isn't even that much of a threat where he's been, you know, had a stronghold on the championship. He may have been in the main event. He's in the main part of the storyline. But as far as purely booking the WWE championship, no team got a chance, especially on SmackDown.
Corey, Wiz.
Okay.
Here's my rebuttal. What are we going up to? WrestleMania. This is WrestleMania 35 coming up, right?
Right.
Right.
All right. So who was the main event at WrestleMania 30?
It's Daniel Bryan and Batista and Randy Orton.
Okay. Who was the main event at WrestleMania 31?
Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar.
37. Paul is cashing in.
And main event for WrestleMania 32?
Roman Reigns and Triple H.
WrestleMania 33.
Are you talking about the championship match or the last match?
Yeah, the championship match.
Championship at was Randy Orton and Bray Wyatt and Goldberg and Lesnar.
We'll do the Goldberg and Lesnar one. That was 33, right?
Yep.
And 34.
Lesnar and Reigns and Shinsuke.
All right, so let's just go with the main belt, right? The number one belt in the company. The names that we saw.
Okay, I mean, I guess.
Depends
on how you view it.
Well, no, it's the number one belt. Come on, we know what the number one belt is, man.
With the lineage, whatever belt Lesnar's holding.
Yeah, let's go with the lineage of it, you know. So we already said the names that we've heard: Daniel Bryan, Orton, Batista, Roman, Brock, Triple H. Let's just look at the five main events and the names that were just said. I don't think you can say clearly that there's a parity where anyone can be thrusted into that position. Because clearly these names roll over again.
Yeah,
and they're layered.
What's the common denominator? These are all at WrestleMania. What did I just say? WrestleMania is 1 month. They still got 11 months. If you want to put a championship on somebody, you can do it. I'm speaking purely of, I'm not saying he's about to main event WrestleMania in the next 5 years. I'm not saying that.
Okay.
But your dad wants to can put him in a championship program or put a championship on him. You definitely can do that. Jinder Mahal was WWE champion after WrestleMania.
Did Jinder have the number one belt or the number two belt?
Did he have a world championship or not?
The number one or the number two belt?
Do they have a world championship
The number one or the number two belt? We know which one is more significant. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. Here's the reason. Here's the reason why I think Patrick actually has a chance, and you guys just made me think about it in this conversation. Patrick would be the first guy that has come from the TV show through NXT to the main roster that has had the success that he's had. So it would be the storybook from the beginning of them discovering him in a casting to his march all the way to the title. So I think he has the legitimate chance of being that guy to do it. That's why I give it to him. Everyone else, they won't get it because they're not a homegrown, created organism of the WWE universe sculpted
by
Vince.
That's what I said. That was the first thing I said. The first thing I said is Patrick is really a WWE made guy, which is why I think that they're gonna roll with him because he's a true. He has his indie roots, but realistically, he never went anywhere else. Never went to ROH. Never went to TNA. Never went anywhere. So he's really like the true next WWE or the next true WWE prodigy that went straight from WWE all the way through. I mean, realistically, you have like Lesnar, you could say that about. You could realistically say that about Cena. I mean, UPW was, you know, indies, but he never really went anywhere. You know, truly guys that did, I mean, Reigns, you could say that about him.
You can say about Charlotte.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, this, we'll stay on the guys because see, the women, okay. it's not that cut and dry. Because I feel like on the other hand, the women, you have to have been somewhere else first. It's very rare, especially the women now. You got your Beckys, you got your Pages, you got people that were in, you know, Shimmer and all. Like that's where they're pulling from now. You're not really pulling any women from ROH. You're not really pulling any women from TNA, realistically.
Right.
And if you are, go ahead.
And that's why I said Charlotte. If you look at it, she, to me, is the biggest homegrown WWE star from NXT. From NXT. There's no one else to me that can compare from where she's what she has done.
Because Charlotte didn't even go to the Indies, if I'm not mistaken.
She didn't do Indies.
She was strictly Performance Center on. Like, she never did anything else.
And that's why I'm saying she's the biggest, when you look at biggest homegrown stars, superstars, she is it.
Oh, yeah, no, and rightfully so. And that's why they put her in everything. And I don't even mind, because they put her in everything. Everybody's like, oh, gosh, they're putting Charlotte in everything. She's always okay, is she not that good? I don't think people forget. They get so jaded in these opinions. Oh, they always put her in everything. Well, is somebody better than her? Realistically, is somebody better than her? No.
Well, compared to this current situation with her being thrust into the main event of WrestleMania and the way that they're doing it, like we said, they don't know. I just feel that this current crop of writers, they don't know how to finesse a situation. By just inserting her, you know, there could have been a better way of doing it. You know what I mean? Because that basically means Becky Lynch won the Royal Rumble for nothing. You know? It's still a storyline. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. And I personally feel, and you argue this point with me, but I know business. I really feel that if they presented a story arc where Daniel Bryan beat whoever he beat and said that there's no man in this company that can beat me one-on-one, and Charlotte came out and she challenged him for a woman versus man match in MetLife Stadium, I think that right now in this current gender political climate would be gangbusters, man. And I think that she would really perform to the level that we've never seen a female performer perform, that would be
on par with
the performances, that would be on par with the performances of any man in that locker room, just because anytime there's a big stage, she never disappoints.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. I'll give you a little bit. That would be a good match, but Daniel would really have to put her over. And the reason why I say that is because with the gimmick that Daniel has right now, it would work. The character Daniel's playing right now, if Charlotte did something like that, it could possibly work. Any
yeah.
other time, absolutely not. Because you can't. The way Daniel Bryan is built as a wrestler, I just can't see any woman being able to hang with him. However, the character he plays now, the kind of cowardly, kind of, you know, save the planet kind of annoying person, this is the only time that you could possibly present an idea of what you're saying.
A chicken shit heel, like Austin would say, yeah. And we haven't had that. And we haven't had that in a very long time for someone that can pull it off the way that he's pulling it off. And in the end, if he wins, that gives him triple the amount of heat that he would have going into the match just because of him. Could you imagine him winning her by pulling her tights or just doing something dastardly? You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Like,
and escape.
He would be the heel of the decade if he did that. But they don't have that foresight.
Now, here's what I wanted to tell you earlier, in conversation. But what I wanted to present to you was that, you know, kind of the argument of why aren't they changing on the fly with some of these people right now as far as the booking and the writing.
Yeah.
I think they're given more leeway with that than I think maybe you think that they do. I just think they can't touch WrestleMania. I think because of all the promotion that goes into WrestleMania, with banners and posters and writing and appearances, and I think because they try to book that stuff so far in advance that unless there's a catastrophic injury, they don't change that stuff. And I think they do that only because it's WrestleMania season. I think anything else, I'll put it this way, I'll give you this. If this Kofi thing had been going into, say, SummerSlam, then they might have pulled the trigger and swerved something. I just, unfortunately, because of the time we're in, I don't think creative has the luxury based on the higher-ups, Vince McMahon, you know, Triple H. I don't think they have the luxury of changing something on the fly because, forbid something goes wrong, something goes wrong with something they changed on the fly, you know, there's more than just rewriting something. There's all the promotional value and all the, you know, posters.
Yeah, no, the wraps on the trucks and the buses and, you know, I get that. And you know what?
There's a lot to go through. There's a lot to go through. Like I said, I think we talked earlier, I think this was where they was going to go with Mustafa Ali anyway. Kofi just does it a little bit better because he's been there 11 years. He's been in the shadows for the last 4 years because he's been with New Day. Some of this generation has not seen Kofi Kingston perform like this, and the fans starting to appreciate what he can perform. And again, I'm going to say it, I'll be that guy. It's Black History Month. I'm sorry. And people have the hopes of having an African-American champion. And I know this is not the African-American conversation or – but we already had one. It's The Rock. Now we can't fault the fact that he embraced his Samoan heritage more than his African American heritage because he was around his Samoan family more than he was his African American family. That's why he embraces his Samoan culture a little bit more. He wasn't around his African American family as much as he was. So when we say everybody wants Kofi because they're hoping they get that first Black champion, sorry, you already got it. His name was Dwayne.
Don't dismiss it like that. Because it's not a matter of it being the first. It's about it making sense. And what I said to Mike and I said to somebody else is that looking at this situation logically, if we were in a different time you know, and somebody got hot organically the way Kofi got hot organically. There's an ebb and flow to professional wrestling. A guy like this gets hot. At some point, you know, he can do business with the guy that has the belt. And even if it's a heel versus a face situation and the heel has the title, at some point that face has to overcome the dastardly act of the heel. And then I'll bring it back to R-Truth and Cena. Same situation. Booker T and Triple H. Same situation. My thing
is, R-Truth was the heel, if you remember.
Well, yeah. If you flip the dynamic, at some point the face has to overcome the heel some way, and in reverse, the heel has to snatch the prize possession of the face, and then you have that chase. It ebbs and flows. We know how this goes. And same thing with Booker T and Triple H. When that was booked, I can't remember what year it was booked, whatever, but it made sense for these things to happen, which brings me back to, you know, what I said. Is there a particular mold for someone to carry the belt that they have to have in WWE? And if so, how come certain people that we think fit that mold, how come they aren't selected to do so?
I think it's timing. I honestly think it's timing. I think it's something, I'll just go back to it again. It's something with the WrestleMania time. They don't mess with it, and they don't mess with changing anything. They don't really experiment too much with going out of the box. Had Triple H, Booker T, and that was 2003, by the way. Had Triple H, Booker T happened a little later, or maybe a little earlier, like the year before, then maybe had that title existed, because that belt only had existed maybe 6 or 7 months up to that point, I think it would have been a different story. However, with Triple H and Booker T happening WrestleMania time, and with Goldberg coming in, that's where they were going. They were going with Goldberg getting the belt. Unfortunately,
I thought they were going with Steiner, and Steiner kind of like botched it out.
Steiner was in the works, but you know, Steiner never really, you know, it never really amounted. So they needed a WrestleMania match. Booker T was hot. He was, but I don't think
not hot enough.
No, not even that. I don't think it didn't matter who you put in there, who you put Triple H in there with. I don't think the plan was to ever take the belt off of Triple H at that point, because I think they were keeping it to where Triple H was going to hold on to it up until Goldberg got it, and which is exactly what happened. Goldberg was the one that ended up getting it. Because if I'm not mistaken, the title never changed from Triple H all the way up to when Goldberg got it. I don't think anybody won the World Heavyweight Championship in that time frame. Actually, I'm pretty sure of that, actually. Nobody won the World Heavyweight Championship. Triple H was World Heavyweight Champion all the way through SummerSlam. All the way up until he lost it to Goldberg in Philly at Unforgiven. So
I'm amazed at how you can recall this information.
So I don't think there was ever a plan for Triple H to lose it. That's honestly what I'm starting to. It just sucks because of, you know what sucks about it? Because I'll give you this, because I do agree with you on this point. With the storyline of the racial overtones, with the way they incorporated that into the Booker T Triple H storyline, it was a shame that Booker ended up not winning it after introducing that facet into the storyline. Had they never introduced that, then it would have been like, okay, well, Triple H won. But they made Triple H look like he was... They put the overtones in there that Triple H was making himself better than Booker T, you know, with the racial overtone. And for Booker T to not overcome that, that's where the backlash is. And I get that, because I do agree with that. That sucks. That sucks to put this big old story of Booker T and him overcoming all the things he had to overcome, and Triple H coming out saying, oh, you know, I'm just, you know, pretty much being better than him, making himself like he's better than him, And for Booker T to not win it, you were kind of like, oh, like, really? Like, okay. I think that's where a lot of the backlash is. Because
I think that's where a lot of Booker, backlash is at. A lot of backlash is at some point.
Right, exactly. Because, but honestly, booking Triple H over Booker T at that time, it's not really, you know, rocket science. Triple H was white hot at that time. It would have made sense. But when you introduce these other things that get people so emotionally invested, and then you get the letdown, that's when it was like, because I even remember watching that WrestleMania, when it went on in the middle of the card the way it did, I even said then, I said, oh, Triple H is going to win this. Because it just didn't feel like, with the placement, the match placement, it didn't feel important enough that Booker T was going to win. Because you knew Lesnar was going, everyone knew Lesnar was going over Angle at the end of the night. But for that match to fall in, you know, hour and a half, 2 hours into the pay-per-view, you were kind of like, okay, well, Booker's probably not winning. It really had just another match feel. It didn't feel like, oh, Booker could win this. It just didn't. I look back at that match now, and I'm kind of like, yeah, Booker wasn't going to win this. And you could feel it, because it was just something as little as match placement. It just felt like he wasn't going to win.
Well, wait, and you said that was in 2003?
Yes.
Yeah, look, I stayed away for 7 years after that. I was so disappointed. I was like, the hell with this shit. I stopped watching the pay-per-view after that match and didn't start watching again until I showed up at WrestleMania in Atlanta, which is by happenstance.
Right. But, you know, it turned a lot of people off, because it's like one of those things. It was one of those things where the racial overtones were there. You know, he told Booker T, and I guess it was a promo on Raw, if I'm not mistaken, with it. I know you'll correct me if I'm wrong. Like, you're going to just carry my bag. You know? Wait. He said that. So when you took that to a whole different, like, hold on for a minute. I know this dude just didn't say, you know, you took me to carry my bag. You know, that you're going to carry my bag. So that was one of the things that you looked at. That's one of the things that you thought about. You know, going back to the way the Kofi Kingston thing is that people want something new and they want something different. And WWE, Kofi's a good performer, and they want different to be Kofi Kingston. Now, I'm not saying Kofi Kingston would never be champion. And like I said earlier about Velveteen Dream, I think you can make Kofi champion, just as like the Wizard said, you just can't do it during WrestleMania time when you already have plans. WrestleMania's probably
Hold on, my bad. Before I forget this point, and Corey, you said something about like the packaging, the marketing, the wraps on the Vans. We talked about that. Since when has New Day not been a major part of their marketing and promotion campaign?
Well, I'm talking about as far as the matches, because they still put the matches on posters too. I'm not talking about just the individual stuff. Everybody gets the individual stuff, and you're right. Everybody gets that you know, promotional stuff. But as far as they put matches on promotional posters too, so that's what I'm talking about. Okay. And I know it takes nothing to print that stuff, but the headache of changing that at the last moment, because that is stuff that they already have kind of made up already. It is. And unless there's, like I said, unless there's a huge injury, they really don't change that stuff. Usually, unless there's something that happens, the WrestleMania main event is usually already booked or already thought of, at least, by Survivor Series or December. It's usually almost a lock what they're going with as far as the two title matches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so those, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, look at even 2 years ago, look at Lesnar and Goldberg. That was pretty much locked in from November.
A year.
You know what I mean?
Almost, yeah.
Yeah, almost, yeah. No, you're right, yeah. It's pretty much was already locked. So a lot of that stuff, you know, they kind of plan it, and they're, you know, it's very hard to change their mind. And the thing is, with the Kofi thing, as far as we know, as great as Kofi's doing, we don't know for sure if that was meant for Mustafa Ali or not. Which is I think it was too. And
I think it was
too. I could see them doing Daniel Bryan versus Kofi versus Ali at WrestleMania. I can see that.
I can see it being a multi-man match. I can see it being a multi-man match because you got a lot of guys to get included.
Either that or unless, in which I doubt this, but you can't rule it out. They could always just go Daniel Bryan versus Kevin Owens. If Owens is ready by then, they could go Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens.
Right, they can go Kevin Owens, Daniel Bryan. They can go AJ Styles and Kevin Owens. I mean Daniel Bryan again. I mean, you can go Daniel Bryan some more.
I think the luster of AJ versus Daniel is gone right now. Not in a bad way, but it's been done. It's been done to where Daniel has already moved on from that.
I wouldn't pay for that. I already saw it.
Yeah, I wouldn't go Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles at WrestleMania again. I would almost do AJ Styles almost in like the US title. And well shoot, we don't know. We don't know who else is gonna show up from NXT. Because you can end up having Daniel Bryan, I mean, or AJ Styles against Ricochet or something. You don't know.
No, you definitely don't know. But I tell you one thing: you can't go over. Well, they can is their company, their show. But if you go over team matches on that card, we'll be there for a long time. So
Sunday's done. We're already going to be there a long time.
Hold on. How long was it last year? 8 hours?
Like five and a half.
Nah, it was about TV time was pay per view time was 5 hours and 10 minutes. So,
yeah.
With the 2 hour pre show, was 7 hours.
Yeah. Like, you had to walk to get there, so that was another 40 minutes. That was an 8 hour event from start to finish.
It's a full day.
It's a full day. But we talk about the NXT stars, and this is where I want to ask you guys and use your wisdom at. I've noticed things. I got a little sharp eye. They're still talking, even though they've been called up, they're still using the NXT logo. They're still using the NXT, mantra and the name. These guys are NXT.
Well, they've done that before.
I know they've done that before, but this is my thing here. And they bounced in between both shows.
Mm-hmm.
On Raw, bounced them on SmackDown. They wrestled on Raw. They wrestled on SmackDown.
Right.
This is the introduction to the new universe because everyone, as I mentioned earlier, everyone doesn't watch NXT. My question to you guys is: at what point do you think NXT, because of the Fox deal, the NXT will be pulled off the network and put on FS1, and that
possibly.
This is the way they're doing to introduce all the NXT people, bringing them up. And we all hear it, the rumors about, oh, this is WWE's way to combat AEW. AEW, I don't think it's even in the conversation. They may have a TV deal, but we don't even know where the TV deal is at. So I don't want to hear that conversation until AEW actually is on TV.
This is to introduce NXT as, this is kind of the way to sell NXT to get on FS1 because it's going to mean more money for the company. Anything you get a TV deal for is going to get you more revenue.
Well, no, that's already included in the packaging. Like when you do a deal with Fox, your content goes to all of their portals. So it's not like it's a TV deal on top of the TV deal. It's all under one tent.
That's what I'm saying. I'm incorporating that. I'm not talking about two separate TV deals. What I'm saying is that they've got to be able to sell. They can't just pop them up out of the blue on Fox Sports. They've got to be introduced to the main television viewers. And so this is the way they introduce them. Because I do think they end up on Fox. I mean, people will hate it because I think them going on Fox means they leave Full Sail, and that's gonna suck. Because I would love for them to stay in Full Sail and just air on Fox. I would love that, but I don't think it's going to work that way. But if it could, that'd be great for them. They need, honestly, for real, I mean, we've been saying this for years anyway, but whatever they need to do to pay to get more studio time at Full Sail to take 205 Live there, they need to do that. Because I think it would help the product so much.
I mean, I agree with you there. I think it would help as well. I think introducing these guys on TV helps the wrestling fan know who they are. Go back to where we talked about Velveteen Dream. That's one of my issues. He does the main roster and transcending and understanding the characters. We look at people who've come up for NXT and been successful and stayed hot on top. It's very few and far between. So, you know, what keeps a Ricochet hot? What keeps a Aleister Black hot? What keeps these guys on main levels when we're coming up from NXT? Because right now, the success rate of stars coming from NXT to the main roster and staying hot is very slim. If you take away Kevin Owens, Seth Rollins, and maybe in Roman Reigns, who else has it been? And we're not including women. Who else has it been?
You said what?
Who else has it been that came up with NXT and remained hot from NXT, who's kept the fire going?
You said other than the women?
Other than the women.
Yeah, because, yeah, I was going to say, the women are really the ones. Came over from NXT to the main roster and kept their momentum. Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn to an extent, Samoa Joe to an extent, Finn Balor.
No, I can't. I don't count Finn because they can't.
Really? You know, yeah, why doesn't Finn count?
I'm gonna tell you why Finn doesn't count. Because when Finn got skyrocketed, he was up there a short time. He got the Universal Championship and got hurt, and he got lost until about a month ago.
Listen, here's
they kept trying different things. He didn't know he wanted to do with a bullet club. He didn't know he wanted to wear the
questions. Because there's the Ascension, Tyler Breeze, Ty Dillinger. You have all of these guys that came up and were hot garbage once they got on the roster. Not saying they are, but the way they were booked, they were barely on TV ever. Mojo Rawley, I mean, there's a clear difference, G. There's a clear difference from who has been relevant and who hasn't. So if you're going to ask the question, you know, you got to – whatever parameters you want to have to it, you got to explain that because, you know,
you're shifting the goalpost, Glenn.
I'm not Lance Stevens. I ain't blowing a goalpost. This ain't the Chicago Bears where you hit doink it off twice and it bounces off. What I'm saying is that we have said that really been relevant as a world champion, a major star, not a mid-card star. Because there's a difference between being a major star and being a very high mid-carder. I have not seen Finn Balor, who's been a high major star, until in the WWE, even though he's an IC champ. I don't.
But he got hurt, though.
He got hurt.
I wouldn't discredit him. And I see what you're saying, but he got hurt, bro. Like, there's nothing you can do about that.
But you got Bray Wyatt, who hasn't really the NXT.
Where is Bray?
Oh, come on, G. Now you're just reaching, G.
This is my point. My point on this is this: NXT. We talk about NXT so much. They're not homegrown NXT stars. Triple H is living up those guys who've been in the indies who are making the WWE great.
Yeah, but that's what he's supposed to do. He's supposed to go get the best talent that he has. If it's available and you can go get them, you go get them. But you mentioning Bray Wyatt is funny because, you know, there's a total different – you say NXT, but there's a total different era. There's the era of NXT pre-network and post-network or network debut. I'm sorry. Anything pre-network, your Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Bray Wyatt, all those guys, like, they count, but do they really count? I mean, Harper, Rowan, you know, Usos, like, do they really count? Like, are you really counting that? Because realistically, that's all your FCW guys too and all of that. Like, if you're going to ask that question, I think it should be set at everything post February 2014 when the network debuted. Everything okay. past there, that's when I'll say, okay, you had X, Y. Neville was relevant for a while when he came to the main roster. And then he got hurt. Neville teamed with the Green Arrow at SummerSlam. Like, you can't say Neville wasn't on a roll. Neville was very relevant coming up.
He was, roster.
But then he got hurt. Remember, Neville was probably gonna win the Intercontinental Championship.
Yes, he was. I give you that. He was gonna win the IC title.
You know, like, he probably was gonna. He, not Zack Ryder, was probably gonna win that ladder match at WrestleMania. So
yes, he was. I give you that. Zack Ryder. What goes back to where we at now? Well, Zack Ryder took the place of Neville, and Kofi Kingston's taking the place of what's the dude's name? I just forgot. Brain fart. Mustafa Ali.
Yeah. But what?
So whatever. So they just slide guys into the storyline, which the fans love the fact it's Kofi Kingston. But if Mustafa Ali had never got hurt, this is Mustafa Ali.
Yeah.
Go to that point.
Remember what
and
happened
so,
to Zack Ryder the next night? Which,
yeah, he
which
lost
was
to the
probably gonna ha- Which was probably going to happen to Neville. Is that they use that to catapult Miz and to reintroduce Maurice.
Yep. They did. So when we say Kofi Kingston going back to the fast lane situation, it's not in the cards for Kofi to be WWE champion, and like they're not going to change that.
The only change I would have made, if they're going to do all of this, the only change I would have been okay with, I will say, if for all this with Kofi, and I always say this because maybe they didn't want Daniel Bryan to look that weak, but if you're going to go this match with Kofi and Daniel at Fastlane, Kofi could have won an elimination chamber. But I guess, like I said, I guess they don't really want to flip-flop the belt, because it seems like for all of this, if they're doing this, Daniel's going to lose at WrestleMania, which is probably the plan, which is probably why they don't want him dropping it twice in a month. That's the only thing I can think of as to why they didn't. Because other than that, if Daniel doesn't lose it at WrestleMania and loses it later on months down the line or something, it's like, okay, you could have done Kofi for a month.
True. And I think this is the way they caught lightning in a bottle. They didn't think Kofi would get over as much as he did. He's gotten over, and this is where I think the writers might build into it. They plan on what the fans want. They plan on the fact that the fans want Kofi, so they can keep putting Kofi in matches. Kofi's going to keep performing, and the hopes of the fans going to be up that Kofi can win that fast lane. A true wrestling fan knows, and Wiz, I think you might tell me, has anybody lost the title before WrestleMania? This close to WrestleMania and gotten it back and became the champ, still was the champion at WrestleMania? Have they been a quick title flip?
Yeah, 97, Brett and Sid. Brett got it in like February and then lost it to Sid. And then Sid lost it to Taker at WrestleMania. And that was all within like 5 weeks.
I knew you would know. That's why I asked.
I was the first one that popped in my head was that one, because remember the whole thing when Austin illegally won the Rumble, which is still one of the greatest things ever.
What?
Right. Because Austin illegally winning that Rumble. And then Shawn, you know, having a, you know, catastrophic knee injury that had to take him out. I refuse to acknowledge him losing his smile.
Now you're moving the goalpost now.
That's the kayfabe in me. At least I can admit it. You know that's the kayfabe. But no, all seriousness, Shawn losing his smile, giving up the belt, then Brett wins it at the February pay-per-view, and then Brett loses it the next night to Sid. And if I'm not mistaken, was that it? Was that the one in the cage? That might have been the one in the cage. I can't remember. But that was the whole shift with Brett. You know, that's when he dropped the BS on television, and that was at that time you were like, whoa. And that's when he shoved Vince.
Right.
That's when that line, excuse me, was starting to get blurred. Where people were finally, because I think it was honestly, even for me, I think that was the time as a kid I started to realize Vince was the owner of the WWF. Because I didn't really know at that time. But that's when a lot of people found out, okay, Vince is a lot more important than you think. And that's when it was really coming out like, hey, Vince is actually the owner of the WWF. So started getting more real. And, you know, then Sid gets it and they go with Sid and Taker. And, you know, and a lot of this, it's a cheap plug, but nonetheless, I heard it on Something to Wrestle, the Sid episode. They kind of talk about that with, you know, Taker being reliable, and they just were like, okay.
And Sid didn't show up to the WrestleMania press conference.
Yeah. Like they, and he talked about how it just blew over like it was nothing. Like it's like, well, okay, like that wouldn't dare happen now. But you know, back then, you know, 21 years ago, it was just like, or 22 years ago, it was just like, oh, well, okay.
We've been talking about the men majority of the show. Let's talk about the women for a minute. We'll get back.
Yeah, sure.
We'll get back to the men in a minute because I want to get your guys' opinion on this Ty Dillinger thing asking for his career release. But let's get with the women. We know that we have new WWE tag team champions, women's tag team champions. We do know that this is WWE's reincarnation of the tag team titles. If you do not know, but as a new audience, it was 1989, after last time we saw the WWE women's tag team titles. Half of the population of wrestling fans right now don't even remember that. But so they had to reintroduce it. So we got Sasha and Bayley with the tag team championship. We know that now it looked like Tamina and Nia Jax will become their first contenders for the women's tag team titles. With it, do you like the fact that these titles will be defended on every show, even NXT?
Yeah, I do. That's the only way you're gonna keep fresh storylines with it. You have to spread it across all three brands. I mean, there's not enough women for it to be brand specific. It's just not. There's barely enough women between the two rosters, so you're gonna have to introduce it to you're gonna have to introduce it to the NXT platform. Dare I say, if you're really gonna run with this and establish the legitimacy of the belt with Sasha and Bayley for a long run, have them go over to the UK too. They might as well. I mean, if they're really gonna really spotlight these tag titles, you gotta make sure that this is actually, you know, done in a way that, you know, it gives the exposure that the belts need.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does need exposure, but it also, I was looking at this, I think this sets up a way where you get the four horsewomen together. When you deal with the tag team, you got down there in the with the NXT. So I think it's a way that the storyline can be developed where you eventually get at Survivor Series four horsewomen versus four horsewomen. I think this is another way that it can be developed here. I think Sasha and Bayley hang on to this tag team titles for a long time. I don't see this being a title where it jumps from women, from tag team women here, tag team women there, as you mentioned, because I think it's one that would travel between all three brands. And Sasha and Bayley are the two, just like Charlotte and Becky, they're the front runners for this women evolution.
Yeah, no, so you're absolutely right.
So I see them hanging on to this for a while. Even though I would think Tamina and Nia Jax would make good champions, but right now it's about the money. And I think that's the case where in WrestleMania, you want your key players to have the title heading into WrestleMania to draw fans. Because this year's WrestleMania is not sold out yet. It's close, but it's not sold out yet. You still want to put butts in seats.
You do.
And, you know, Champ, I know you always got a bone to pick, but you're thinking about this Becky-Charlotte issue. We saw it spill out on a house show, which I thought was great because you don't really see too many things from house shows, which may drive up the house show number when you know things like this can happen, people being attacked, title changes and stuff like that. The way they're playing the storyline with Becky and Charlotte, Champ, and her being aggressive and her going to town on Charlotte and Ronda Rousey, with the crutch. What was your thoughts?
My only thing is if you're going to have this woman escorted out the building, you should have just put handcuffs on her. Because her walking with her hands behind her back, knowing that she wasn't handcuffed, looked kind of stupid to me. also the length of time it took her to use the crutches to get to the ring with a security guard perched in full view of the camera while she's hopping around the barrier. That didn't make any sense. So those are production miscues. The story, I think I've already let it be known how I feel about this particular story, so I'm not going to beat a dead horsewoman. But you see what I did there, right, Wiz? So with that being said, here's what I'm going to do. Just so that way I don't blow a gasket, I'm going to actually wait and see how this thing plays out, right? Because there's a long, what is it, 7 weeks till Mania?
Yep.
For some reason, it seemed like this is the longest road to WrestleMania in the history of road to WrestleMania. I don't know why it seems so long. But
because it seems long because there's two pay-per-views in between. And it felt that way. I'll put it this way. Had this pay-per-view been next week, this Sunday, or maybe even the beginning of March, and that had been only one pay-per-view in between, then it would have felt a little bit like, okay, this is the road to WrestleMania. But road to WrestleMania is 3 months, realistically.
Wow. Yeah. This one just seems really, really long.
Right.
Like I said, my argument going with the Kofi Mania thing is if he doesn't win the title that Monday after Mania, then the verdict will be in, on my opinion, on what is the mold of the WWE champion from the perception of the company. Number two, the Charlotte and Becky thing with Ronda. I don't like Charlotte being inserted unless there's some sort of swerve that they're going to pull, like, say, after Fastlane. Because if it's a triple threat, I just think a triple threat takes away from the billing. There's nothing like a rivalry, a mano-a-mano rivalry. And then you're not going to have a triple threat with Charlotte, Ronda, and Becky, and then have a triple threat with Mustafa, Kofi, and Daniel Bryan. Like, you're not going to have that situation. So I'm just going to let this whole thing play out. I want to see story-wise how they craft it so that Becky can get reinserted. I'll just wait it out. So to answer the question, long story short, I don't have an opinion yet, but I will say I did the math, and this is for all our followers. Right now, the secondary market tickets for WrestleMania are astronomical. Do you know that for the price of a secondary market ticket to WrestleMania in the 100 or 200 section, what have you, you can get a flight, one-night hotel, and a decent ticket to AEW's Double or Nothing. For the price of one WrestleMania ticket, you can get all that. Now, a round-trip flight, you might have to borrow somebody's buddy pass to get back. But for the price of a WrestleMania ticket, you can get a one-way flight, hotel, and event to go see AEW, which is crazy.
It is. But it is the granddaddy of them all. It is one of the big. It is the biggest wrestling event of the year, which is WrestleMania. And if scalpers and computers and robots and whoever else bought tickets in November knows that, and that's why they're going at a premium dollar. Just like why as we record this, the North Carolina Duke game tickets went for a premium dollar. Because everybody wants to be in the building.
Yep.
And want to be in the building.
And Zion got hurt in the beginning of the game too, which is crazy.
Yeah. I mean, look at Super Bowl. Look at Super Bowl tickets. Super Bowl tickets are $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 just to be inside of the Super Bowl. So
do you know that for the Super Bowl, only I think it's only 15 or 20% of the tickets go to the general public. the rest of them are already spoken for by like NFL players, employees, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, corporate sponsors. Yeah.
That's great. And the sponsors, yeah.
Corporate people take care and send it and take care of people at that event, you know? Hey, but Wiz, I want to get your opinion on this. And Champ, you chime in as well. Ty Dillinger, as earlier today on his Twitter, has asked for his release from WWE. Does anybody care?
Yeah, they do. He was a good hand. I mean, no matter how much of, you know, or lack of exposure he's had on the main roster the last couple of months, this is a loss for them in a sense that he was a good hand. He's to where if you needed a match on the card, not just necessarily TV, but even house shows or anything, he was a good, credible name that could work.
So, he got crazy pop at the Alamo Dome Royal Rumble.
Yeah, he came out,
that pop was up there. It was like top five pop of the night, man.
Because he came in at number 10.
And they were calling for it. They here's a Champ creativism right here. They dropped the ball with that organic run. That I'll give you. But for that 10 thing to work the way it did, and they did nothing with it.
Him up out of nowhere though. Was nobody expecting him to get called up? He got called up he was in the title picture at NXT, and next thing you know, he was called up and had nothing to do on the main roster.
But he wasn't gonna get the title. Not with who was still down there when he got called up. Because Drew was still down there, Andrade was still down there. There was a couple of people that were still there to where, you weren't. He wasn't getting the belt. Go ahead.
My thing with him is this. He's asked for his release. Nowhere has it been said that WWE has granted his release. So he's asked for it. I think sometimes, look at the other guys who asked for their release and they got on TV. Maybe WWE does the same thing with him. I mean, Revival asked for their release, and boom, they were on TV. There were rumors about
Did they ask for their release? Did they? Allegedly, right. Because this wasn't public
reports,
like this one.
Court reports, allegedly the Usos were in underneath contract. They're the tag team champion. So maybe he's figuring, you know what? If AEW wants me and I can ask for my release, maybe, just maybe, WWE will put me on TV more. Remember, he still has a girlfriend over there.
But see, here's the difference. The difference is that all of these other ones were all speculated. His is the only public release request. Nobody else's release request was public. You know, so we never truly know if the names that were, you know, asking for release, as you know, allegedly, you know, Ty Dillinger hasn't been on TV in months. At least the Revival were on TV before they allegedly asked for their release. You know, so
right.
it's not the same. I mean, I get trying to tie that all in, but it's not time. No pun intended. I didn't mean that. So
I see what you did there.
Aha. it doesn't mesh at all. Like it's Ty Dillinger publicly asked for a release and put it on Twitter. They're gonna release him. They'll let him go. I mean, Hideo Tommy said his goodbyes on Twitter. Like he asked for his release privately, but he's done. You know,
but if I feel, in my opinion, and maybe I'm wrong, you let me know. I think if WWE release you, they feel like you're expendable. They don't see you as a threat. I think they're holding people.
You could see it that way, but also there, why keep somebody who's unhappy and you're not using them? You know,
allegedly you had a tag team that was unhappy, and now you're tag team champion.
Yeah, but we don't know if any of that is true. I think the plan was always for the Revival to eventually get him anyway, for real.
Yeah, and look, you can let go of Hideo Itami, and I think he'll sell, you know, if you do, like, some New Japan stuff or you do some crossover stuff in foreign territories. I can see that. So you let him go.
The writing for Adele was on the wall when he got hurt and Shinsuke debuted. It was a wrap.
Yeah.
At that point.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. They reached that quota.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty much. But Dillinger, I think he has potential.
Absolutely.
And the thing is, what you don't want, even if a guy is sitting on the bench, he's still an asset, right?
Yep.
And what you have to do, what you have to think is you don't want another rival organization to begin to collect assets, because one man's trash can be another man's treasure. You know, look at the value of Jericho. In WCW, they used him sparingly. They jobbed him out towards the end. He goes to WWE, which I think maybe we should do a show on this, because Vince is very reluctant to promote Ted Turner's assets. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
And Jericho got the top of the top by beating Stone Cold and The Rock. I need to know a little bit more about that, because I can't think of any other Turner asset that was pushed, not even to that level, but even a level below. You know what I'm
right.
saying? Until you say Goldberg
was his
last
one. I can definitely put some insight into that. We'll do something about that. But to lend to your point, too, about Dillinger, you never know with Dillinger. Dillinger may end up being the next Drew McIntyre. Drew was trash when he got released. Trash.
Yeah.
Went to Japan, went to TNA, became a beast and completely reinvented himself. And now he's being groomed to be the next heel guy, you know? So there's always potential. It's not always a death knell or WWE feeling like you're useless. They're kind of like, okay, we're not doing anything with you right now. We'll let you go ahead and see if you can go somewhere, reinvent yourself, you know, really show your potential. Ty Dillinger could be, you know, 2-3 years from now, sitting in the crowd at an NXT takeover, and they show him on the screen returning, you know? That crowd went crazy when they showed Drew McIntyre on the screen, you know, coming back. You know, like
he built himself up. I give you that point. Ty Dillinger could do that. He could go and reinvent himself at AEW, MLW, TNA, Impact Wrestling, you know, or even New Japan. I give you that. He could rebuild himself and become a major star. You know,
absolutely.
Next point I want to jump on is this we know this week that DX was named the first inductee into the 2019 Hall of Fame. And that was the Generation X, X-Pac, Billy Gunn, Road Dogg, Jesse James. You have Shawn Michaels, Triple H, and the Knife Wonder of the World, China. Now, your thoughts on this. I got a couple theories on this. Is it a good way to put China in the Hall of Fame with DX, or should China be put in by herself?
Well, let me say this, because this is going to be my last point, and I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
From a political standpoint, a PR standpoint, and a business standpoint, well played.
Very well played. Very well played.
Good night.
I'll continue for him. It was very well played. This is how you get her in. They didn't want to put her in. But look at all the stuff that comes. Look at the baggage that came with her. And I don't mean that in a bad way or as a slight to her or anything. But look at the baggage. I mean, it is what it is. Look at the baggage that came with her. So they had to find a way to do this. And this was the way to do it.
But it wasn't just her baggage, too. You know, I think when everybody talks about it and they talk about China's baggage, Billy Gunn has his own baggage. That he brings to the table. The guy was just released from the company because of PEDs, or, you know, he failed the wellness program test. When you talk about Road Dogg and some of his issues, when you talk about Xbox, you can't really talk about China's pornography career without mentioning Xbox. For God's sake, they won the award together for having the most downloaded.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Here's why, though, G. Xbox has a huge wrestling career behind that. Where it ain't It ain't affected him with that one video.
Yeah. What I'm saying is when Triple H talked about early when he was on the Stone Cold, not early, but years ago,
yeah.
He was on the Stone Cold podcast. He mentioned when you Google China, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. You Google X-Pac and you Google China at those times. You see what comes up for China as opposed to what comes up for X-Pac.
Right. But
I mean, they were both in it, and it sucks. But that's the double standard that presents itself. It's that you Google China, and that's what you was going to get. That's what you were going to get. You Google X-Pac, you were going to get his whole career, him beating Razor Ramon and all this other stuff. And Billy Gunn, as far as you mentioned that, TVs ain't for it. It ain't.
Yeah.
So, yeah, nah. It ain't going to be that bad.
It's not going to be bad. I'm glad she's in. My thing is, I'm glad she in, as y'all mentioned, is well played.
Regardless, I'm glad she in, too.
I'm glad she in, well played by WWE to get her in. Now, I just wish they would have put DX in years ago so we'd be able to hear her speak. You can't do that now. We'll be interested to see who inducts DX in the Hall of Fame. It's good to see WWE paying homage to see who the Generation X. That's my thing. Just I'm glad that they are getting in. It just as a fan, I would like to see her get her due as being China, the ninth wonder of the world by herself. That's all. As a wrestling fan.
Fair enough.
Hey, man, once again, it was a great show. Ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, hit us up on Instagram. Also, make sure you subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, as well as Stitcher. Make sure if you're listening to us on YouTube, hit that subscribe button and that bell notification. And never miss any of our shows. We'll be back with you again next week. Next week, same time, same bat channel. Hey, Wizard, as always, take us home.
Hey, if you're not confirmed, consider yourself denied.
End of story, ladies and gentlemen. Good night.